Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly number 43 for June 7th, 2007. Dance to the Nuance.
It's time for Mac Break Weekly, a weekly show that looks at Macintosh computing as it applies to the iPhone. And, or maybe I should say the iPhone as it applies to the iPhone. I don't know. Joining us right now from AppleFoneShow.com and the great Apple Phone Show podcast, where you'd think you'd get enough iPhone news, Scott Bourne. Hello, Scott.
Good day to everybody.
Thank you for sending me the University of Pennsylvania sweatshirts.
I'm glad that was from one of our fans who sent it to me, and then I sent you yours on to you, and they're very nice. Thank you to the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, there's one for Dvorak. Kind of ironic because I just came back from my college reunion.
How'd that go?
University of Hard Knocks. No, it went great. It was a lot of fun. I've got now a Yale mug, a Yale pennant, and right above my recording setup, I have the motto, my new motto going forward in life, for God, for country, and for Yale. So I just thought that's how I'm going to run my life from now on. Merlin Mann is here from 43folders.com and the fabulous MerlinShow.com, themerlinshow.com. Hey, Merlin.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
Very well.
You know, you just told me what you studied in college, and I think the kids at home would be interested to know what you studied.
I think a lot of people have mocked me for this.
I wasn't mocking. I was just wondering what your parents thought.
You know, I never asked them. Chinese studies. I think that was a very good thing to major in.
You studied Mandarin.
In retrospect, I was just ahead of my time, because if you knew Mandarin now, you'd be able to speak Chinese.
You could totally speak Chinese.
Just keep that in mind.
Restaurant in San Francisco, probably.
Hey, let's not knock it. This is the Chinese century, and I think nobody denies that. Yeah. Get ready, folks, because if you don't speak Chinese, you know, you're first against the wall.
I'm totally screwed. My neighborhood.
You're screwed, guys, and you're going to be coming to me asking for my advice on how to ask for a cup of ice water.
We're so tough now when we want to get chow mein or whatever.
There you go again with the Chinese restaurant jokes. They don't like that in China, you know.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
They're not just restaurateurs anymore.
They also have cell phone stores.
They have cell phone stores.
And pink bags.
Oh, God, we are in so much trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, it could only get worse, and yes, it has. The Macalope is here. Ladies and gentlemen, he may sound like Jerry Lewis, but that's only because I'm applying special encoding to his voice so that you'll never know who it is. Hello, Mr. Lope.
Hello, Leo. And now if I actually try and do a Jerry Lewis impersonation on top of the Jerry Lewis filter, what will happen?
It's already sounding very weird. I don't know if it could sound any weirder. Go ahead, just try it. Let's hear what it sounds like.
Hello, lady.
He's going to fit in real well, don't you think, guys?
Yep.
In fact, I won't have to use the vocoder if you just talk like that.
I think I'd make it about 5 minutes.
Now, just so you know, we have now conclusively revealed and proved that the Macalope is none of us. He is his own man.
Theoretically. I mean, we're not all in the same room.
That's true.
Yeah.
I could be using some very sophisticated technology to make the Macalope appear to be on the same show.
I would like to say for the record that I did hear the Macalope and Merlin Mann speaking at the same time.
If you want to hear that, just stay tuned, because it'll happen.
And we both drink glasses of water at the same time, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just like Charlie McCarthy.
Very, very impressive. Would he do that? Would Charlie McCarthy drink a glass of water to see if Edgar Bergen
could reference and a hip audience will get it. Absolutely.
It.
Edgar Bergen, the world's greatest radio ventriloquist.
And father to?
Candace Bergen. Nothing wrong with that.
Television's Murphy Brown. I always wanted to be television's somebody, something, you know.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Leo, if I could just let me get this in here. Right about there.
Right on.
Sorry, I didn't know if you had the music handy.
I do have it, actually. You want me to play it? Just, you know, pretend that
you have a little soundboard where you can just keep it nearby.
You know what I should do, and if I were really a together podcast producer, I would have this all potted, you know, onto the synthesizer. But instead, I just have the fresh buttons. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Right, 43 folders of Brad Holt, the weekly mind-breaking
Bacalope's having second thoughts right about now. Not too late to run, Mr. Loeb.
Yeah. You should start the show with that.
We start the show with other things. We have many things.
Don't worry, Mac, we edit all of this out. This is all.
Yeah. Nobody ever hears this part.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Hey, as long as we're playing sound effects, should we hear the new iPhone ads?
Yeah.
Are you excited about this, Scott Bourne?
I'm. To tell you the truth, I'm excited that we now have a ship date, but I'm more excited by the Cult of Mac ads than I am the Apple ads. But let's listen to the Apple
ads. What's
the
ship date while we're doing this?
It would be June the 29th for those who are lucky enough to be first in line. There will be about 20 at every AT&T store in the country, and then who knows how many at the Apple stores.
So,
So that means
when will I be able to order it?
Well, see, that I don't know how that's going to work, but there's 2,000 AT&T stores. There's 20 at each store, so that tells you how many phones will be available through AT&T.
And there'll be demand is clearly for the millions.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll find out what happens.
So there's three of them. Never been an iPod, How To, and Calamari. What are your choices?
I go Calamari.
Does it sound like a game show?
So 10 points on Calamari, Leo.
This is your first time seeing these, right, Leo?
Calamari for 200, Alex. Yes, it is. Here we go. This is Calamari.
So, say you're watching Pirates of the Caribbean. Did somebody say Calamari?
Oh, I do this all the time. He's now searching for Calamari on Google Maps.
The closest would be...
Which, by the way, I have on my BlackBerry.
Ah.
So far, this is nothing I can't do on my BlackBerry. Well, actually, I take that back. I can't watch Pirates of the Caribbean on my BlackBerry.
You don't think that's an elegant little piece of advertising?
Didn't John Gruber say 7 clicks or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. You can do that with most phones out there. In fact, my 95 has...
In 7 clicks?
Oh, yeah, easily. But the fewer than 7 clicks. But the weird thing is that my 95 knows where I am. I mean, are they implying that the iPhone knows where you are?
I don't think we're going to have GPS support on ship date, but I think we'll have it later.
Yeah, see, that's something that is in the 95. That was unimpressive only because that's nothing particular. Let's look at another one. This is another one.
There's never been an iPod that can do this.
That's the cover flow he's showing off. Now he's going to watch a movie.
Or this.
Zoolander. Well, wait a minute. I can watch Zoolander on my iPod, can't I?
Or this.
Or he's now looking at a slideshow. Oh, I guess the whole thing is he's doing it with his finger.
He's doing... Well, you're missing the point. Sure, you can do all those things. You can do a lot of that stuff with the phone,
finger.
But it takes 49 clicks. And the idea here is that there's a certain kind of... The thing that
It's all happening in 30 seconds, I guess.
...have been holding out for was this that sense of flow between applications, which it looks like this, if it works like they're demonstrating, I think that's a pretty remarkable UI change.
Well, I think one thing we know is these are not real time. You think it happens that fast?
I don't know.
It
remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But I think that Merle's right. I mean, that's really the killer
app. I'm missing
making phone calls is the killer app, but I think it's the user interface. If it works like it's advertised, it's going to be a hit.
There's got to be...
You sound kind of like a Unix guy, Leo, where you're like,
I'll tell you why I'm underwhelmed. But this is television magic. I could tell you right now, just looking at Calamari... That's not going to happen in 30 seconds. They took out all the waiting for the map to load, waiting for it to zoom. They edited all that out. None of this is real time.
I think that was a cynically optimistic representation of what it would be like to use that in real life.
Well, I'm saying they should have simulation underneath at the bottom of the screen is what I'm saying. No?
Scott Warren, what do you think of that?
I wondered about the download speed, et cetera, but I think the point is not how quickly it happens.
But that you can do it all with your finger.
Concept that you can do it, and the fact that you're going to view it on a screen that's much larger than a Nokia N95s, and you're going to be able to rotate it and have the thing rotate with you without having to press a button. And I think both, Merlin and the Lope, if I may call you that, sir, the Lope, have... you know, talked about UI. I really think the more I think about it, we've, you know, Merlin was asking me this question months ago, and it was a good question. I didn't articulately answer it then. I think I can better do that now. What's the big deal about the iPhone? The more I think about it, it's the UI.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously what Apple thinks, because all three of these ads, that's what they're about, right?
Well, they do
it's
something
about capability, and, but it's about
yeah. I'm cribbing from about 15 different writers that I enjoy right now, but the point is that they're doing something that Macintosh ads should be doing probably more often in a Mac user's opinion, which is to show you more than just, hey, here's how this fits into your lifestyle. It's a way of saying here's a series of amazing little affordances that become like a second nature, and that is a really substantially different experience from, let's say, most computers or for now most phones.
I guess I'm turning into an Apple phone or iPhone contrarian, partly in response to what I see as a lot of cheerleading.
I'm still not going to buy one. Don't get me wrong. I'm still not getting one. I'm just saying that at least, if that was an accurate representation, I think, A, it's indisputable to me that that was a very well-done series of ads in my mind.
Yeah.
And B, if it can flow like that, that looks like the way a Mac phone should work. And so I'm satisfied if that works like that, that's going to be something. At least they'll sell to Mac people. I mean, I think people are going to be pounding down the doors. I really do.
Well, there's no doubt the initial shipment will sell out. The question is...
40,000 is nothing. I mean, that's...
Well, that's to the AT&T stores. There'll be more at the Apple stores. The question
is... Oh, they're selling it at Apple stores too.
Yeah. The question will be, you know, after a couple of months and we see how AT&T does with the service and all that kind of stuff, you know, and whether or not the widgets are really coming down the pike and all that, that'll be when we really get some proof in the pudding. But, I mean, Apple can sell as many of these as they want on day one at any price they want. And I do have some breaking news here. You're hearing this probably first here, nowhere else. We know I'm ready to report that the retail price of the phone without the contract is $999.
Ooh. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's and you know why it's that? Because it's the same reason why a dog does you know what, because he can. It's
There's so many things dogs can do because they choose to, Scott. I wonder which one.
I'll let you be the judge. But anyway, they can get $999 without the contract, which, by the way, if you ever do that, you're not necessarily a person that possesses a large intelligence quotient, because if you were to cancel your existing singular phone at $125 and bite the bullet and start fresh, you'd end up paying less than $999.
Oh, well, the other thing that we got out of Sunday, Leo, I know you've been a little off the grid. This basically showed up with no fanfare in the middle of 60 Minutes on Sunday night. And, of course, one of the things you see at the very end, as noted by our friend John Gruber, is that there is the note there that it is going to require a two-year engagement, which I guess is pretty standard. I know with Sprint, that's pretty standard. But is that something that's been public before or has been?
Yeah, like, I think they always said with 2 years.
They've always said 2 years.
In fact, they said that at the keynote.
$900 crap.
They didn't say the $999, but they did say the price with 2 years. I think that I remember them saying it at the keynote. And the reason I remember it is I was sitting next to somebody who says, "Does that mean you get 2 years free phone subscription?" I said, "No, that means Singular owns you for two years."
The really scary thought for me, and unfortunately, I really haven't given it much thought until I started doing some research on it this week for the for my show, is. We really don't know what they're going to charge for the data plan. We don't know what they're going to charge, you know, for.
I could tell you, I pay $50 a month right now with AT&T for a BlackBerry data only, no phone calls plan. It's expensive.
Right.
So I would anticipate, unless they want to screw with RIM, which I doubt they do, I would anticipate similar costs.
Yeah. Well, they do have a $20 a month plan with phone.
Not unlimited.
No. Actually, it is unlimited. It's the $15 one is limited to 4 megabytes or 5 megabytes.
And you get 20 unlimited plus you pay for phone service.
But we have no idea. See,
more because I think you. Why would
I feel like I read that somewhere? I feel like somewhere this week I saw a price for data, and I.
Well, AT&T has been unwilling to confirm for me anyway any number, and my sources are saying that as late as last Saturday or Friday. There was still some talk about what those initial plans were going to be. I'm guessing they're going to come out on the high side once again because they know they can get away with it. And then as everybody starts to go into sticker shock, they'll ramp those down and make deals. It's, you know, it's like when the Razor came out. It was like $1 zillion. Now you can get them for 9 cents.
Hey, Leo, what do you know about Fine Edge? Did you see this story?
No, what's Fine Edge?
It's some kind of it's a different version of Edge that AT&T is going to be using. Is that I'm reading this off of Gizmodo?
Yeah, one of the complaints that people have made about the iPhone is that they're on a 3G network, but they don't support the 3G offered by AT&T, the HSDPA. So this is fine Edge. So it's like better than Edge.
Yeah, do you know anything about that, Scott?
Yeah, it's like Edge 2.5. I actually alluded to this months ago, and everybody pshawed me, but. There was information out there months and months ago that their Edge was going to be better than anybody else's type of deal. They're spending a lot of money. They're actually building T1 lines, according to several reports, at some of their towers to make sure that there's good transmission rates. They think that their Edge is going to be competitive. Once again, the big deal about 3G is in a lot of places it doesn't work or it doesn't work reliably. They think that because of the widespread nature of the Edge network, its reliability would be good. And they continue to say over and over when I question them, well, what's it matter? Because Wi-Fi is faster than any of those. So I don't know. It's interesting to see that they are trying to beef it up a little bit. Makes me wonder if maybe it wasn't as good as they thought it was going to be when they first came up with it.
I just don't buy any of this crap. I'm sorry. I'm so sick of this press release stuff. Who knows what this is going to be? Every cell phone network I've ever heard of has said, oh, but wait a minute, we've got better than the other guy. That's, we'll see. I don't buy it. Fine.
Well, we're gonna do some tests at the show, Leo, where we actually test the speed.
I think we're done with press releases on this subject.
Okay.
Let's wait. The phone will be out in 3 weeks. Less than. Well, 3 weeks. Let's wait and see. I think it's irresponsible of us to just repeat something Singular's saying or by AT&T saying. I don't buy it. Sorry. Because I've covered cell phones for so long, these guys, of course their Edge is better. Why aren't they supporting HSDPA? That's what I don't get.
Well, their response to that is that it's not working in a lot of places.
Yeah. Would it help if somebody read it to you off of a cue card?
Yeah, maybe. Thank you, Sig Sigler.
That is a good line there, Lope.
They also, Steve Jobs at the D conference. We'll talk about Steve and Bill together at the D conference. But Steve had a little time at the D conference. He made a couple of announcements, including he says it's really OS 10. Which is, I mean, I guess that's a response to people like me who were skeptical that it was a full OS 10. He said, no, it's the same.
And the Safari, just from what they're calling this, a prudering of these commercials, the Safari does look like Safari. It's got tab browsing and stuff.
Right.
Just kind of cool.
That would be nice.
Again,
he also says we're not going to support.
He
also says we're not going to support third-party apps because it's insecure. But we'd like to. He's kind of hedging his bet on that one.
Yeah.
He's keeping his powder dry. That's something he can pull out later and go, hey, one more thing.
Do you think it's important that he support MacLope, that he support third party, or that it is in fact OS 10? Are these important facts?
I think what they're trying to do is they're just trying to control the user experience right now, because when this thing ships, they don't want there
to
be
sense.
15 apps that have been developed by somebody else that they don't know anything about, and they get loaded on, and people all of a sudden start having bad experiences.
And that's actually
reasonable. They're not controlling, they do that, they're not controlling the message. And that's basically what they're trying to do. And I think there's plenty of room for them to be able to release a controlled environment for developers.
You're saying on ship day, it's more important that it work exactly as spec than that the few of us who care about third-party apps get our wish.
Yeah.
I think this makes a lot of sense. I have to say, I loaded up my Nokia with third-party apps and it stopped working.
That's
ding, 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 ding.
So I have to say that does make sense. That's frustrating because that's a lot of the fun of something like
that. Did it stop it from being a phone?
No.
It just did. The apps wouldn't work.
Yeah, a lot of the apps stopped working and the camera stopped working well and stuff like that.
I'd say I had one of those experiences that everybody was going, I want my phone to always work. And it's very important to me. And I'm always like, yeah, whatever. That doesn't really happen. And then the other day I had tried to use that Saling clicker.
Yeah.
Which doesn't work with any Sprint phones because Sprint sucks. But of course I still had it on my phone. I'm trying to talk to somebody and my phone keeps going, boop, cannot connect to Bluetooth. Boop, cannot connect to Bluetooth. And it was really, I felt like I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
It was really annoying.
Try it. You really want to have fun. Try a Windows phone. Oh. And that thing will crash. You look at it cross-eyed and then you can't, and then nothing works, including the phone. Yeah, I have to support Steve on that. So has anybody watched the video of Walt Mossberg's D conference where Steve and Bill are on the stage at the same time? I've read quotes, but I haven't.
Yeah, I thought I watched the whole thing.
Tell us about it.
I found it strangely homoerotic.
For you or them?
Well, for them, really. They had a bunch of clips at the beginning, which I had never seen before, from back when Microsoft was first developing for the Mac, I think it was, and they had they did this format. I don't know if it was Mac. I don't even think Macworld was around back then. I can't remember what the conference was, but they were all on stage, and it was Gates and a couple of other software developers, and then Steve Jobs was, you know, standing at this podium, and it was a dating game. It was the dating game, and Steve would ask these developers questions, and the whole thing was like, you know, which is the right developer for the Mac, and it was very. I just thought it was a little strange, and then of course at the end, they asked both of them to reveal something or say something about their relationship that nobody knew or something like that.
Ooh.
And Steve joked that they had managed to keep their marriage secret for all these years.
Oh,
so those were just very interesting bookends to the whole thing.
I would like to see them in an Odd Couple style play together.
That's exactly what it's like.
It is kind of like the Odd Couple. Now, who's the messy one?
Steve?
Gotta be Bill. No, it's gotta be Bill.
I would think it's so? Bill.
Yeah.
Looking at them.
Come to think of it, it is Bill.
Yeah, after right. watching this, I've decided that dogs and cats can now start living together.
Well, I don't know. I've always imagined they've got a lot of respect for each other. You know, I mean, like anybody. Yeah, I mean, I think
and
you
they
can
were
turn
both
this...
there at the beginning, you know? I mean, they have that in common more than anything else. They were pioneers in the computer revolution. I think you'd always have that kind of
thing. Well, I mean, the thing is that there's not that many people in either of their lives, let's be honest, there's not that many people in either of their lives that they can call peers,
that as rich as them.
Well, just in any way, I mean, they've got beyond first world problems, each of them, and so there's, in some ways, they share a lot more DNA than they don't share.
Absolutely.
If you think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
They're two heads of successful computer companies. Yeah. Ooh, they're really different, you know?
I think that's absolutely true. I would be shocked for the. I mean, we all assume, oh, they must be at each other's throats. Of course not.
Freud calls it the narcissism of minor differences.
Right.
In Civilization and its Discontents, Freud says this is what we do. We end up, the people that are increasingly almost identical to us become the people that we hate more than anything
right.
else.
Yeah, that's all. I've always observed that. That's why I
hate
you.
Like Freud,
I hate
dude.
You so much, Merlin, man.
I hate you more,
no, I
Mandarin.
Hate Merlin.
Shut up, Mac.
Merlin, yeah, you too.
You...
yes, no, we are definitely not the same person. Yeah.
There were a few interesting contretemps. There were even some testy moments, right? I mean, it wasn't all fun and games. I think Bill really resents those Apple ads, for instance, the PC Mac ads.
He handled it better than he's ever handled it before. I mean, he's been interviewed about them a number of times, and he's been extremely huffy about them. And this was actually the only time that I'd seen him interviewed about those ads where he hasn't practically gotten up and
joked.
The person asking the question.
Yeah, he joked about it.
Yeah.
Of course, Steve didn't help matters when he talked about putting iTunes on a Windows machine and said it was like bringing a glass of ice water to a person in hell.
Right.
Yeah, that was interesting. Now, how did Gates react when Jobs said that?
Well, Gates wasn't on the stage.
Oh, he wasn't.
That was
oh, okay.
just Walt Mossberg and Jobs on that one.
Yeah, Jobs wouldn't say that in front of Bill. That would be... No. On the other hand, Bill said he admired the fact that Steve Jobs has taste. And this was interesting because this is a famous moment between the two of them. Steve Jobs on, was it Revenge of the Nerds or Triumph of the Nerds? Was notorious for saying, you know, the problem with Bill Gates and Microsoft, they just don't have any taste. And that apparently hurt Bill's feelings. Steve made a call to him the last time they kind of, maybe not the last time, one of the last times they spoke together and apologized that I shouldn't have said you have no taste, but then just couldn't quite bring himself to admit it and say, but you really don't, Bill.
I think the brown Zune answers that question.
Yeah.
Okay?
And in fact,
making a red one now too. Did you see that?
Well, that's perhaps they'll retire the brown one and then I can move on.
Is it a Bono red?
It's unrelated to U2 as far as I know.
Is it going to ship with all the Beatles songs on it, Merlin?
Actually,
don't even start.
Slowly I turn.
Didn't Mossberg though say to them, what's one thing you like about the other guy?
One thing that the other one has contributed to the computer?
There you go, yeah.
No, but at one point he said, not having seen it, I'm at a disadvantage, but I thought he said, what's one thing about you admire about the other guy? And that's when, that's when Gates said Steve Jobs' taste.
Yeah.
And did Steve Jobs say Bill Gates' wallet? What did he say?
did he say?
Like, we've kept our marriage secret for over a decade now. That's, I have to say, I like that.
Oh, I think it was focus.
Focus, maybe yes. That's a euphemism.
Yeah.
For his murderous desire to win at all costs. His focus.
Relentless.
Yeah, relentless. I like the fact that that Steve Jobs said, no, everybody loves the PC guy in the Apple ads. He's got big heart.
I think that's true.
They love it. They love him more than the Mac guy. The Mac guy's a snot.
Yeah, everybody loves the PC guy. I mean, everybody loves John Hodgman, but
maybe that's it. So this was, you know, an apocal meeting of the two. Is there any thing we learned though from this?
Steve kept alluding to some sort of an online offering that they're working on. There were a couple questions about web. Based applications and that kind of thing, and he said something was coming in the next 1 to 2 years.
Hmm.
And then he also said that an update to .Mac would be coming.
Hmm.
And I got the impression that those were two separate things, because he said that the .Mac update would be coming soon, relative very soon.
It's definitely time to make .Mac do something for its $99 bucks.
Well, you know, they announced next year's panel. Leo, it's going to be Tom Cruise and Brooke Shields.
Which panel? The .Mac panel?
At you know, Walt's going to interview Tom Cruise.
Oh, wouldn't that be good? That might be good. I'd like to see that. Steve did, in his talk earlier to the D conference, tell us that YouTube would be available on Apple TV, that there'd be an update, a free update to Apple TV. That's cool.
That's very cool.
How would that work? Do you know? Did they say anything more about that?
It's just a menu option, just like everything else. And
but the word on the street is it's going to be H.264, not Flash.
Oh,
that is true.
Oh, so like a special YouTube.
That's what I was wondering. Is it going to look like?
They'll be rolling it out, I think, you know, like a lot of these kind of scale-related changes, they'll be rolling it out a little bit at a time. You won't be able to go in and find every cat playing piano at once. They're going to roll this stuff out a little bit every month.
That's...
And keep in mind, though, the limit's going to be that if the stuff was encoded crappily and shot with crappy cameras, it's still going to look like crap.
That's
on an
what's
Apple
interesting.
TV.
Do they discard? Or they must discard the original after they.
They can't go back in time, can they?
But I wonder. It's kind of interesting to think about.
Well,
they've got
what
higher quality tools.
Sounds like to me is it's going to favor content submitted by the networks. By the high-end content providers, right? So let's go look at some of those great, you know, CBS clips or whatever.
Right.
That would make it then very interesting, I would think, to NBC and CBS as basically it becomes another promo channel.
What's a foot in the door on that device, too? I mean, that's something that's probably going to be a lot more costly to get on a TiVo. You know, this isn't going to be as wide of an audience, but it's a nice foot in the door.
MTV owner Viacom said it would welcome the chance to license its content to Apple, which is a little change from their attitude in previous. Maybe not. Maybe not.
I think you can take that as more of a shot against who.
Yeah, right. Maybe. That's very interesting. Yeah, that's right. We don't want it on YouTube. But I think users would love it, especially if it were higher quality, to be able to watch the top 10 YouTube videos.
It's going to take something like that to make the Apple TV experience what we all hoped it would be. I mean, early on, I thought it was cool, but I always said I think this is something to be excited about in version 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff coming down the road I think it's going to need.
Well, you know, people like Merlin and I use the Apple TV really as a repository for higher quality video we put on it ourselves.
You know, it's funny, though, to Scott's point, though, there is something that there is an itch that I'm really starting to want to scratch. It's something that a lot of people said from day one, and I'm starting to get it. The whole thing of I have to go to my computer to go buy that movie or to buy that subscription or to buy that album. And that is vexing. For this thing to really go to the next level, there really should be a way for it to be hooked up so that you can order from there, or for that matter, even order remotely from your computer. But you shouldn't have to have all these devices you've got to run around to make that happen. And that's really limiting. Do you find that?
You download it though first, though, right? I mean, you have to, you know, if you're sitting down to watch TV with your family in front of the ITV, and
you have to think of it ahead of time.
Yeah, right. You still have to think of it ahead of time.
Which is a pain compared to, say, a TiVo, which you can just program to record.
But I mean, couldn't they do something where, in the same way that you only allow a certain number of computers to use the iTunes library, couldn't there be a way that when you're surfing, say, for example, the top 10 iTunes videos, music videos, how hard would it be for there to be a way to click and say, buy this, the transaction happens back on your computer, and then it gets hooked up. You know what I'm saying? Where it's kind of passing
I think they'd
it
eventually
off.
Do that, wouldn't they? I can do that now on my Xbox 360. I buy stuff all the time.
But on the Apple TV, is that a technical constraint or a policy one, do you think?
Policy. There's no technical reason why they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
There's enough hardware in that thing to easily do that. Easily do that. I don't think that's a problem at all.
Well, it's already got the activation or whatever you want to call it.
Right. No, I think Apple TV, you're right, shows more promise than it's delivering. I'm happy with it now. I mean, it's basically just a gateway into my HiDef TV for online content. And I'm using my desktop as a way to grab content from either mm-hmm. ripping, downloading, or buying, and then getting it on that Apple TV. You're going to have a bigger hard drive, too, which is good because of the 40 gig is not nearly enough.
Actually, that was one of Merlin's original complaints from the Macworld show floor, as I recall.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if I could just put a bigger one in and just take it apart. It's just, I'm sure, a laptop drive.
It could be hacked.
Yeah, that would be worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
People might have to distribute an image for a larger one. Interesting.
No, I think Weeknees has a kit. I think Weeknees has a kit
they?
That
okay,
you can
there you
do for like 160 or whatever drive.
Them guys is great.
Great.
The USB port in the back is still not usable, right?
Only, well, you can boot from it. Can't you? Wasn't that one?
You can't attach a drive to it.
No, yeah.
No, you can. Drive without it.
But it's not an external. It doesn't become an external thing.
Right.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel bad for the Apple TV because it got eclipsed by iPhone. And I think there's a lot there. I would like to see them. He says it's a hobby. Steve said in his speech, it's a hobby for us. He kind of diminished it. Maybe he's underselling it because he doesn't think it's going to be anything more than that. Well, a big story this month, of course, and I kind of got bit by this one because I went away. I pre-recorded my radio show on Tuesday, and I said, well, it doesn't look like Apple's going to be able to do that DRM thing they promised by the end of May. And, of course, by the end of May, they did. The very end of May. Was it May 31st that they released they announced the 7.2?
Yeah, it was a week ago, wasn't it?
They waited as long as they could. They got it in before
the midnight or something.
Yeah, before the month was over. EMI content available without copy protection and in this higher 256 kilobit AAC format. Has anybody downloaded or bought anything? Has anybody listened to anything?
I have.
Yeah. And? Me too. I upgraded everything.
Sound good?
Yeah. I upgraded everything I could, but it really wasn't that much.
It takes a while to upgrade, I can tell you that.
What's the cost to upgrade? Just the differential?
The difference.
30 cents. 30
hey,
cents.
That's
per.
Worth it.
Yeah.
That's
well,
worth it.
It's, well, two things. First of all, I mean, I don't know if it was capacity issues, but I had a really hard time getting it to finish my collection for like 3 or 4 days. And for me, I think
well,
it was
how many
70,
records was that?
Something like, I want to say 70 tracks, 72 tracks.
Well, that's not that many. Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't notice a huge difference. I'm not an audiophile. I'm
See,
the kind of person
thing.
Where
I think most of us are not going to hear a huge difference.
I notice for me, things break around like I rip everything at 192 MP3s. And right. So like if I hear a 128 MP3, I notice it.
Right.
But I like a lot of people, I'm not noticing a huge difference in sound quality. Do you guys like Scott, you would really notice, I guess, right?
On the right speakers, particularly something with a lot of clean bass. You're going to hear a slight difference. And, you know, it's one of those things where people think, well, it's 256, therefore it must be twice the quality of 128, which is erroneous. It's not. It is just simply more quality, and it's more than enough quality to please 99% of the world. And then there's Alex.
Right. Who, well, we don't count him. I mean, that doesn't.
Yeah.
He's a quarter case.
for the 30 cents, I think it was worth it. But, you know, to your point, Merlin, I have 4 songs that were eligible, and it took me 4 days.
How do you find out if they're eligible?
They tell you. You hit it. Now, this is one of the cool features of it. If it were to be done quickly, it'd be really cool. But you click a button, and it just goes through all of your purchase history. Notice I didn't say it goes through your library. It goes through your purchase history. Any song you purchase that qualifies, you get a chance to update. Now, this is what's really cool, whether or not it's still in your library. So if you've lost a song,
this is a
quick way to upgrade.
I'll be doing that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about that.
That's great. So even if you've thrown the song out or lost it by accident, you can get it again.
Yeah. Now, the one negative of this, Leo, is you don't get to pick and choose.
You have to do it all or none of it?
All of it or none of it.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Is that right?
Yep. There's no choice to say, I want this one, but not that one. It's everything or nothing.
You are right about that.
So you did it too, Macalope? You upgraded everything?
Yeah. And it was only 5% of my... 5% of my iTunes purchased music, actually. And so it cost me like $7.
You didn't have that many songs, I guess.
No, not a lot.
Yeah, not from EMI. I was thinking of buying the whole back Pink Floyd back catalog now. Now
I got an update. Yeah, it updated my my Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. Cool, man. I'll tell you, every time that alarm clock goes off, I still think somebody's like calling me. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
it could be listening to that.
I think Wish You Were Here is a better record, but
it is. In fact, I am so
really. You think so too? I get in a fight over that all the time.
I'm so proud of my daughter. She came out with me to my reunion, and we went to the Cutler's Records, the New Haven record store. You know, for the last 800 years, and they used to sell them on scrolls. And we went in, and they actually still sell albums. And she looks up on the wall. She said, oh, that's cool. The guy's shaking hands with the guy who's on fire. I said, yes, my daughter, that is one of the great albums ever recorded. She bought it, the vinyl.
Wow. Cool.
Now now we have to buy a record player.
I was going to say, you're going to need a record player.
She already has about four or five vinyl records.
There's USB turntables out
she
there.
She just so bought one.
Is that right?
I said, but there's no point in converting it
Leo,
from the vinyl.
I've been to that record store. That's an amazing record store.
It's a great store.
You know what I found there?
What?
The original Blind Faith album cover, the one that was banned.
There you go.
The girl with the plane?
Prepubescent. Yeah. Just pubescent girl, yeah.
They had one sitting there.
That it is, because they have a lot of old, used vinyl. It was fun. She bought a couple of things. What else did she buy? She bought another album. I was impressed. She's got good taste.
I also got a signed Joe Cocker sitting on the dock of the bay.
Wow.
His cover album.
Wow.
So one thing that people are complaining about is, just like the copy protected music, your name and account email address are embedded in the song.
So don't be a thief and you don't have anything to worry about.
See, it doesn't. Yeah, that doesn't bother me. And we've known. And of course, by the way, it's easy enough to remove.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
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 I think even when you run J-Him, all that stuff still stays.
No, J-Him had an option. Maybe they've changed it, but they had an option for a long time to remove the personalization. It's just as far as I know, it's a clear text string. Now, they may have gotten a little more tricky, but you're right. Unless you're sharing it online, why should you care? Or should you? Privacy rights advocates are a little upset. Are they? You told me they were, Merlin.
Oh, yeah, they were. I haven't followed this super carefully. I think I saw some stuff about the EFF talking about this.
If somebody steals your laptop and your music ends up someplace, then it's not really your fault, but your name is tagged to it or something. I don't know. Maybe, you know, and just the question of who needs to track this information.
Yeah.
It's probably got something to do with the licensing agreement. That'd be my guess.
I would think so, too.
Well, as they point out on Ars Technica app, the entertainment industry has always been obsessed with so-called casual piracy, which is us. Not the triads who are pirating in.
So I don't like that term, piracy. To me, piracy means you're taking people's stuff and selling it.
Yeah, I agree.
Piracy is over the years. Piracy is one of those words like hacker that's come to me to mean something that it doesn't really mean. You know, I don't know.
Well, I want to understand it. I think it's a little disingenuous of privacy rights advocates not to worry about it in the copy protected music, but now they worry about it in the unprotected music. Like, it sounds to me like they're planning on sharing it. I mean, if it didn't bother you in the copy-protected music, why does it bother you in the unprotected music?
See, this is the stuff that drives me crazy, because I know the RIAA, if they had it their way, you wouldn't actually even be able to listen to an album twice without having to pay for it.
Right.
And on the other hand, you got the guys that want to steal it that gets the RIAA all crazy. If everybody would just act reasonably, we could solve most of these problems.
Yeah, you're probably right.
We should get some smarty pants EFF person on to talk about it.
Okay, deal. I got one right here. Hey, smarty pants. He's on break. He'll be back later. Apple is... Apple.
You're full of beans tonight. I like that.
Full of beans. Apple is apologizing because apparently a number of audiobooks, some of those fabulous Audible books that we've mentioned last week on the iTunes store, are defective and won't play on your iPod. They'll play on iTunes, including Al Gore's The Assault on Reason. But they won't play on an iPod. Apple's saying, for now, don't buy any audiobooks. Thank you, Apple. Got to thank you for that. No, they said just from iTunes, and they'll fix it soon, and they'll contact you when they do. DRM sucks. Can I just say that? Yeah. You wouldn't see any of this. It's all DRM. If they just put it all in MP3, none of this would happen. Okay, I'm done. Apple has released an update to the MacBook Pro supporting the new Santa Rosa chipset. Means you get 800 megahertz bus. They're using NVIDIA video cards now, which is kind of interesting.
It's a faster video card, yeah. And you can also go up to 4 gigs now.
One more gig than before. Again, that's because of Santa Rosa. And it's the new LEDs. Has anybody looked at these new LED displays?
The LEDs are only on the 15s, Leo, not the 17s.
Right.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
I have not seen one.
Supposedly better battery life, which would make sense. LEDs are...
They're greener. They got less of the heavy metals in them, right?
They're greener or less green?
Greener.
Oh, not color green.
No, I'm sorry, not
yeah. And it's a nice green tinge on your display. I see what you mean. They're environmentally friendly.
Right.
And I was actually relieved to see this upgrade wasn't any bigger than it was, because it would have tempted me to break my New Year's resolution.
Of no more MacBook Pros?
I agreed to keep one for the entire year.
Maybe you should buy 16 or 32 more gigs of RAM just so you feel better.
I can't. I'm maxed out.
Oh, man.
3 gigs. That sucks. Merlin and I are a little disappointed that there was no 12-inch.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm such a long-suffering. You think you're long-suffering, Macalope. I am a long-suffering user.
Why is Macalope so long-suffering? What makes you so
long-suffering? Well, I represent the Mac community.
That's... enough right there. That's all you
say. He was forged in the hellfire of the mid-90s.
Say no more. Say no more. Hey,
I was there. I saw it.
I was there, too.
It
I hate
hell.
It. I complained.
I saw my buddies go face down in the mid-90s.
I saw some of the best minds of my generation using Toshiba Portages.
Ooh.
Actually, that's where the temptation lies for me. They've got a Santa Rosa Portage with LED screen, 12 inches, 2.4 pounds.
Oh, man.
Oh, if only it ran OS 10.
Now, what we need is Unparallels.
Ooh, new Parallels is out. Or going
but
to be
saying if we got Parallels that lets you run Windows on the Mac, we need
that. I know.
Like
that
perpendiculars.
Lets you run Mac on the Windows.
Perpendiculars. Converging. We need perspective. Parallels it has announced, and I immediately bought the upgrade because I am a Parallels lover. Version 3.0 with some nice new features. It's not out yet. But you can upgrade to ship soon, they say. You can upgrade now for, I think, was it $40 the upgrade? Discounted price?
Yeah, it's like 10 or 20 bucks off.
They're in private beta right now. Should have a final release in the next few weeks. It's got a few things new, like Smart Select, a built-in integration tool that allows users to open any file from Windows or OS 10 with any program from either OS. Don't you like that? And that's also part of the coherence. So you're looking at a Word document. You've got Office installed on both the Mac and the PC. When you double-click it, you can choose which operating system it opens in.
Oh, that's sharp.
Sharp. And
you can think that the company, game. Isn't it? I mean,
they're
guys,
brilliant.
They update so frequently.
They did something that I was told you couldn't do. In fact, I talked to somebody at VMware. They've got support for 3D graphics acceleration, which I'm not sure, but would imply that you'd get Aero Glass now in your Vista on the Mac. Snapshot backup and recovery of virtual machines. Very handy if you're using Windows and you get a virus. Security.
Don't you get a virus, Leo?
Huh?
Don't you mean when you get a virus?
When you get a virus. I think this is great. $50 for the upgrade if you upgrade ahead of time. They've done this and they've done this all along, which is, you know, sign up early, you get a discount. And I did immediately. Yeah, I think these guys are the smartest programmers. Some of the smartest programmers out there.
What is the retail for a fresh buy?
$80.
That's not bad.
Not at all.
The drawback is you got to buy Windows.
Yeah.
That's the big drawback of all time.
But you can do Linux. You can also do Linux.
You're right. You could do Linux.
That's what I'm using it for. Yeah.
Oh, really? Interesting. How does that work?
Okay. I mean, I'm really just a hobbyist. I want to see what all the fuss is about. It's
I know you can use it for Linux, but I keep wondering why somebody does that when you've already got a great
You got BSD. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's sort of like being, I'm sort of a Unix tourist on the same way with VI, where I want to go in and I keep thinking I really, really, really want to learn this, but you know, I don't want to go move my life over on VI.
The only way to learn to use VI is just to not allow yourself anything else. Throw out TextMate. Throw out Coda. You have to just, you know, say, this is it. And then you'll suffer for quite a while.
I'm thinking about growing a neck beard and getting into Emacs.
Yeah, Emacs. I wish I knew Emacs. I want to know Emacs.
I sit there and watch Ken Case, you know, all these people who've got all these crazy Emacs skills. It's
one of my great regrets. That and majoring in Chinese.
Good news, Dad. I've moved to I'm going to be an art history major instead.
Any other big stories before we get to our picks of the week? It's so nice to have you, Mr. Macalope, by the way.
Wonderful to be here.
Macalope, MacaLope.com is the website. Merlin, you know, we first became aware of you when Merlin just kept talking about you over and over.
And they doubted. I mean, I don't want to.
He's part man, part Mac, part antelope.
I'm not going to name names here, but but some of the richer members of the MacBreak crew doubted your existence or your veracity.
Not never veracity, but existence.
Oh, and when I quoted
the other
him
way around.
Well, I just if you were real, they didn't believe you.
You mean Macalope? You didn't believe in Scott Bourne?
No.
There is no Scott Bourne.
It's like not believing in rainbows.
Now, I do want to point out that because I became so impressed with the Macalope, that today, even though no one can see me, I'm wearing a suit.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Because I thought this was an auspicious occasion.
I bet you look good in a suit. Wow, there was just dead silence there. Hey, that big banana.
That was like the cell phone commercial there.
You look good in a suit. BigBanana.tv.
Low sugar time.
Who knows about this BigBanana.tv? It's an online service focused on bringing movies and film to Apple TV. Now, see, nobody's mentioned this. It's not a closed platform. You could, in fact, I guess, be an Apple TV provider. You'd
it's
have
like
to
$5 per for like...
Yeah, but it's like Reefer Madness.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go to archive.org and get that.
It's free stuff. 25 free classic movies.
I think we haven't seen anybody clamoring to do that because of the low adoption rates.
Have you guys spent much time on archive.org? Can I just say, go in there and look at the film stuff. It's not all great. It's not all super high quality. They have huge amounts of totally free live shows of bands.
And you can download those. And are they in Apple? Well, of course, with Visual Hub, you could just...
Visual Hub and you're good to go. They got Buster Keaton movies. They got a lot of really good ephemeral content. What's the guy's name? David Prelinger? Is that his name? He has this huge collection of ephemeral films.
Stuff
like Reefer Madness, but funnier. And anyway, if you want to fill up your TV, it's a great place to go.
See, you and I are alike in this respect. And I think there are a number of hobbyists like this who are willing to take some time to find content, download it, convert it, and put it on the Apple TV. And it's not a lot of work.
It's all about getting your workflow down. I mean, if you do it once, it's like learning MySQL. We're like, if I don't do it every 3 months, I'm going to forget it. But with this, it's a breeze. And
you have it, and it's really nice. I mean, if I had a bigger hard drive, I'd do more of this.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. And I have a broad variety of stuff available on the Apple TV to watch. And it looks great on my app. Especially when you do it with higher quality materials. It looks great.
Do you do Best or Go Nuts?
Go Nuts.
Really? Did you find that adds a lot of extra time?
No.
What we're talking about here is the quality Visual setting Hub. In Visual Hub.
And I'm doing it on a MacBook Pro 17, and it does great. And the reason I use a MacBook Pro for this, first of all, of course, because of the processing speed, but also because it's got 802.11n, so it syncs faster with the Apple TV. No, I love doing this. And, you know, I'd love to get some ephemeral stuff on there.
Go get a copy of The General. They could use a higher quality version, but you can go grab yourself a copy of Buster Keaton,
one of the great silent films of all time.
Yeah.
Well, I want more Jerry Lewis.
Jerry's not in the public domain yet. He's still very much alive. Never worn the same pair of socks twice.
He borrowed socks once, though.
Did you read that? Have you gotten to that point, though, in the book?
Yeah.
You're up to the point where he's building the set for, is it The Ladies' Man?
No, it's, maybe it is, yeah.
It's the one where he's at the girls' dormitory, right?
Right, and he's actually building a dollhouse set, 45,000 square foot set that's all open on the fourth
mics,
wall.
Mics, and every room
has
in
its
the
own
set.
Lights and mics.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And then they have put the camera on a crane. and they can shoot into any room.
Leo, have you considered branching off into a specifically Jerry Lewis related podcast?
I'm thinking Jerrycast. You know, there's so much to talk about. I think maybe you and me, Marilyn, then we could do the Jerrycast.
I think the Macalope might be in, from what I can tell. The Macalope sounds like a fan.
We all do the voice.
Yeah,
I think that's our. Well, that's really.
Everybody would have to do the voice.
We'd all have to be in the voice.
That would be funny for 2 minutes.
Well, that's like a Jerry Lewis film, actually. Yeah. So it's perfect. I want to get Bellboy.
I would avoid Hardly Working. That's the one I would avoid.
That was the last of the series, wasn't it? That's the one where the rubber teeth.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to see it. It's like a car wreck. You got to see it through to the end.
Have you ever seen the script for The Day the Clown Cried?
No.
Where would you
see the script for The Day the Clown
Cried? Harry Shearer has seen it, and apparently there are copies floating around. I have not looked for it again lately, but apparently it was a 300-page script, indicating it's a 300-minute movie. Do you know about The Day the Clown Cried?
Tell us the story.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
In 1970, Jerry Lewis wrote a script where he plays a clown named Helmut Dork, who goes to a concentration camp in 1930s Poland, and it's his job.
It's
as
already
a clown
good. It's already
to
good.
To lure children
into their doom.
That is right. And somehow it never got made.
Wow, really?
What a cheery idea.
He was big on pathos.
It got some European, I think from, I want to say Sweden, there was some funding coming in, but it never got made. I think he's got the only copies of what got filmed, and he's clung to copies of the script. But there's some production stills that got out that of him in the makeup with the stripes and everything. It's pretty mind-blowing.
There's an article from Spy Magazine describing this whole thing. It says, Lewis has a copy of the rough cut on videotape. He keeps it in his office, protected from harm and unclassiness by a Louis Vuitton briefcase. Over the years, he has screened it or pieces of it for a number of colleagues and at least one journalist, attempting to piece together the lost work. Spy interviewed 8 of the lucky people who have seen parts of it to create a roundtable discussion, including Harriet Anderson, who I guess was in the movie. She calls him Jerry Lewis. She's from Sweden. The screenwriters Charles Denton and Joan O'Brien, and Harry Shearer, among others.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be playing the rat hole music now?
This is the ultimate rat hole.
It really hurt him, though. It hurt him a lot. It's something he really poured himself into, and it took a toll.
It's a classic Jerry moment, but there's so many. I don't know. I'm sorry. You know, when you get, if this is what happens, you become a Jerry Lewis aficionado, and really everything else takes a backseat.
It's true. It's like people that are into like the Grateful Dead. You don't get a little bit into the Grateful Dead. And I think with Jerry, when you feel the love and the feeling and the thing, you're going to go and you're going to follow that. And this is an industry that fears a genius. So
that's it.
I'm so disturbed by the thought of that movie that I don't think I can go on.
I'm going to find you some production stills.
Let's wrap this thing up with our picks of the week. And Macalope says he's got one.
I do. I came prepared.
Good man, or antelope, or whatever you are.
Man thing.
Good,
be fine.
Good man thing.
Yeah. My pick is Pandora Jam. And are you familiar with Pandora?
Got to love the Pandora.
So do I. I love
a website that allows you to create your own radio station based on the music you like.
Exactly. They keep a music genome, and when you plug in new artists that you like, it compiles all that information and suggests other artists that you might like.
Uh-huh.
And to my experience, it's just been great. I mean, every once in a while I get a lemon, but by and large, very good. At any rate, Pandora Jam leverages Pandora, and it is an application on OS X that allows you, I mean, the best feature, I'll just jump to the chase, is that it takes the songs that Pandora is playing for you and dumps them tagged
into
iTunes.
This is exactly what the recording industry is talking about. Oh, jeez.
So download it while you can.
So it turns them into MP3s, because they are MP3s as they come across.
Turns them into MP3s,
yeah.
And it does some other things too. It streams to an Airport Express, and it submits your songs to last.fm if you're into that kind of thing.
So now owned by CBS.
Other people can see what you're
Did you see that CBS bought Last FM?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that wild?
It is. I like Last FM.
So Pandora Clown? What was it?
Pandora Jam.
Jam. Okay.
You're reading about Jerry Lewis, aren't you?
I'm in the Jerry mode.
Lock, Laporte. You're totally reading about Jerry Lewis right now.
So we'll move on. Pandora
Jam.
Jam.
And I'm just checking to see who that's from.
Brought to you from the Recording Industry Association.
Shouldn't be shut down by Pandora.
It's $15.
15 smackers, but worth it. Think of the money you'll save on music. Merlin Mann.
I said before we started rolling tape that my pick was it's something I feel very strongly about, but it's kind of like yelling Stairway to Heaven at a concert. Today, one of my favorite applications.
Freebird.
That guy should be punched in the throat all the time. One of my favorite applications is my RSS reader, yes. Net Newswire.
Oh, updated.
Net Newswire. I've been playing with the, I think it's been an alpha for a while now. Just got upgraded, and it's got a lot of nice little cosmetic bits and bobs. Just more of the, you know, kind of, there's tons of new features, but it gets more and more like polished. And easy to use, and I think it's a tremendous, if you're going to read RSS feeds, a lot of people love the Google Reader. It's a wonderful application, but I am a huge fan of the Net Newswire, and I do this mostly as a way to send a shout out to Brett and his team, because this is amazing stuff. They've done yeoman's work with Net Newswire.
It's a great product. You know, as long as we're talking about that, Mars Edit was also updated. And now supports Vox. That was by what's his name? But it's now acquired.
So Brent did it, but now
Red Sweater does it.
Daniel
Jacket. Yeah. Mars Edit 1.2 is out now though. Yeah, and he has added. I'm really thrilled. Vox support.
Yes, but you know, Net Newswire. I just want to say, like a lot of the applications, program. You see them get gobbled up by a company and. The sucking starts, yeah. And I just think it's really cool that they're still putting love into this, and it's still worth every nickel.
Now, I downloaded it. I haven't played with it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I have to say, I've been using Phlox Reader, and have less occasion to use NetNewsWire, but I will take a look at 3. One of the nice things with the acquisition is it synchronizes with whatchamacallit. So that's nice.
I should probably trick out my explanation a little bit more. Yes, I would. It's got a new thing called clippings where you can go in, and it's sort of like flagged items, but you can go in and find things that you're going to want to blog later. Cool. And you can put that all in one place. Cool. I've been using this for so long now that I've kind of gone dense to all of the new ones. It's got a neat new, one thing I thought was kind of cool. I'm not using this, but it's got a neat new, you know how there's the traditional view where you've got the kind of Outlook 3-pane look. There's the widescreen where you get 3 vertical columns. And there's a new one called Combine View that kind of emulates the look of like Google Reader. So you get to see all your stuff in line and it closes up after you've read it.
See, that's what I like about Flock. Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to now look at this. Okay.
And there's a new kind of sexy little, I mean, this is like little Mac eye candy, but there's a neat new little like a preview of like a little thumbnail of the page. I think it's like a thumbnail of the site. But for each one. So you kind of still stay plugged in. So you're reading, in other words, if you're reading something from 43 folders, you'll see a little thumbnail in the lower left that shows you the 43 folders homepage. So it keeps you kind of plugged into the real world, so to speak, of the web. And then finally, one thing I finally started using more is styles, which have been around for a while.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really nice styles, and you can make them yourself.
Like?
I use Feed Light Aqua.
Mm.
And I can recommend
it's funny. I only recently discovered that. Because it's not immediately obvious, but in the lower right-hand corner of your window, you can check the, you know, there's a pop-up box that'll change the style. And
I don't know what it's like on Windows for stuff like this, but I feel like we're certainly not impoverished for great news readers. I like Newsfire a lot. It's another great app. We're really lucky here, and I think it's nice that the ecosystem is rich enough that, you know, we can kind of see a diversity of different ways and people can kind of specialize in, you know, one thing or another. And anyway, love it.
Love it. Love the app. Net Newswire 3.0 is
Brent,
now out.
He's a good man.
Yeah, he is. And Brent Simmons. And how much is it?
Macalope?
$30.
I want to say 30. $30. How much?
It comes with a year of, what's the service?
Yeah, you know, I can't remember. I want to.
NewsGator?
NewsGator. That's it. And but the nice thing about that is it automatically syncs your list to NewsGator.
And your tab. Oh, so like what I do it between two computers. And remember, if you're the kind of person that likes to browse, it uses WebKit to let you look at pages inside of the app. If you want to do that, it'll remember all of those tabs. You can put your tabs on the top or the left or wherever you want to put them. And I don't use them, but I'm told that between sessions, it'll remember that if you're syncing. So
yes.
You don't run into that thing where you look up, you waste a day at work and then come home and have to reread everything again.
No, you can continue wasting your day when you get home. And that's what I look for. A good application lets you
go
do
away,
that.
Kids. Daddy's looking at his tabs.
I got tabs open here. Hey, by the way, I bought Planet Earth. Thank you.
What do you think?
I haven't watched it yet, but just came. High def. I got the HD DVD version.
First episode's great. It introduces you to all of the different...
So excited.
Attenborough.
David. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Scott Bourne.
Well, I have a free pick today.
Yay!
Ooh. And it's a pretty big deal. If you use Camino, they've got the new version, 1.5.
1.5 just came out, yeah.
It always has been one of my favorite browsers, mostly because it opens stuff that Safari won't and doesn't
really?
Seem to complain. Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Anything that's Windows-centric that Safari kind of burps on, Camino will always open. But now with 1.5, it does it even better.
That's actually good. I didn't know that. I use Firefox, which is pretty much the same, right?
Yeah, the problems, Scott. What do you what vexes
well, you?
You
know,
what do you...
It kind of burps on various videos. Some of the Safari stuff will burp on video things that are Windows-centric, but Camino will open them. And what I really like is they've really stepped it up. It's got spell checking. It's got a way improved tab mode. It'll actually, you know, when people have you open a link and it forces up a new page, they'll allow you to put that into a new tab. There's a keychain entry compliance thing, which makes it easier to keep track of your passwords.
Every Mac app should support keychain.
Absolutely. Sure. This one does now. It didn't originally.
Yeah.
Does feed detection, way improved pop-up for flash and plug-in blocking. They didn't have as good a job at that before. And, you know, a couple of bugs. And it's free. And I've always liked it. I played with it today. Now, as we speak, the site's down. My guess is that they're getting crunched for
download. They've been up and down throughout the day.
Yeah,
but it really, I played with it extensively for about a half hour this morning, checking out all the new features. And I have to say that, you know, it's nice and stable. The other thing I like is that it used to open up with a default page that was, you know, a bunch of gobbledygook about the browser. Now it just opens up with a nice clean page with a Google search box.
I have got to download it again. Many Mac people consider that the best Mac browser. We're very fortunate, you know, we have many choices. Because we don't have that, you know, dominant Internet Explorer browser like they do on Windows. We really have some good... Didn't used to be that way.
Right.
Used to have any choices. But now, you know, you've got Safari, which is superb. Firefox derivatives like Camino and Flock. Shira. A lot of people like Shira a lot. You guys have a feeling about...
That's real pretty. I have this experience that happens sometimes. And I there must be some... key combination I'm hitting in Quicksilver that ends up being very close to Internet Explorer because about once a month.
It keeps launching.
Yeah, about once a month I open Internet Explorer and it's almost like finding a photo of yourself with like buck teeth and zits. I open
bad.
This thing up and it's so painful to look at.
So bad.
So janky and so carbon and like it's just...
Well, and what's interesting about all these browsers that I've mentioned, and then let's add Opera, which is also very nice on the Mac. But everything but Opera and Internet Explorer either use WebKit or the Gecko, the Firefox engine. And so that gives you some real, you know, stable engines to develop on.
But you're right. But I think you're right about one thing in particular is that, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I remember when Mozilla hit 1.0, got the T-shirt. And Mozilla was like, I don't know, like your really smart, dorky, fat friend in a sweater, you know,
right.
Where you're like, awesome, but like it was not a
ugly.
Pretty experience.
Ugly, yeah.
It was huge too. I mean, if you loaded that whole suite of Mozilla But look at the way the skins you can get now for Firefox, and it's you're right. I mean, you're totally right.
We're lucky.
We have such a polished experience now. We get to benefit from all the plugins, all the Grease Monkey scripts, all that stuff, and I think we're very lucky in that regard.
Do you use OmniWeb?
Oh, another one. I forgot OmniWeb. Of course.
Ken Case finally talked me into trying OmniWeb again. And disclosure, I do work with them. I like them a lot. They're my friends. It's come a long way and does some amazing stuff from where it was a couple years ago.
I've got to download that again. I've got a paid license.
You can go in and do stuff like per site information. Yeah. So a la Pith Helmet, you can go in and like you can skin each site. This is all built in, like out of the box.
Wow.
But you're right. I mean,
they had some backwards navigation thing. I can't remember exactly how that was supposed to work.
He does tabs on the side, which makes some people.
Yeah.
Opera does that too. Now, Shira, which is SHIRA.JP, is Japanese, but you know, they also have a widget, a browser widget, a dashboard widget. I don't know what you would use that for, but it's kind of an interesting idea. Oh. And it's very pretty. That's based on WebKit. It's kind of a stripped down WebKit browser. So that really would be kind of a stripped down Safari, basically. Some good choices out there.
What do you use for a browser?
I am using a combination of Camino and Safari, depending on my mood.
How about you, Merlin?
I primarily use Safari. I use a whole bunch. I use Safari, and I use OmniWeb, and I use Flock. And occasionally Firefox, because I have a Scott Bourne-like experience where sometimes Flock, for some reason, doesn't like things.
Yes.
Or I have problems. Firefox always works.
I think it's important to note that the Lope and I share browser capabilities.
What do you use, Scott?
Maybe we're the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you just blew my mind.
Bourne doth protest too much.
I use Camino and Safari. I mean, I when I can't make it work in Safari, I use Camino. And I think my cool factor must just have risen a little bit because I do what the Lope does.
You do what the Lope does.
What do you guys use for ad blocking?
I wouldn't pin your hopes
on that. What do you do for ad blocking in Safari?
I go to the preferences pane and say block ads.
In Safari?
I don't block ads because I feel that...
Pop-ups or ads?
Pop-ups is what I mean.
Yeah.
Do you use like Saft or Pith Helmet or anything like that?
Nope.
Ads are what keeps this web free.
Don't I know it.
I believe in
Isn't
the free
that
web.
Isn't sadly hypocritical of me? That's awful.
You block ads except on the 43 folders.
Except on 43 folders.
I got to go lines breaking up.
No, that's exactly why I don't block ads, because I want people to see
I
our
have
ads.
A page on my site that tells people how to block ads on my site, which makes my ad people hate me. But I feel like if you don't want to have ads, you should go change it.
You know, where was it? Who just wrote? Oh, it was Howie. Matt Howie just wrote a really good article on his blog. Did you see that? Saying basically you should show ads to people who haven't, you know, aren't your daily regular users and aren't, you know, the hardcore users. Don't bother showing ads to the hardcore users. Mostly they don't click. And B, they deserve an ad-free experience. And I think this is a great idea.
He's totally right. It's on Fortuitous is the name of his site. He's got a wonderful new site with basically how to be successful with your web business. And he's absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you, a lot of ad people will tell you that, you know, I'm repeating some of what Matt says here, but you know, the long tail is real, and a lot of your traffic on a well-trafficked site is going to come from Google. Those folks will click on ads, but the people who are coming there every day,
they've seen them.
Not so much. Yeah.
I would do that if I could figure out how to do it. I'm sure there's some easy
way to
do it in Drupal.
Well, there's a really great open source web ad server. It used to be called PHP Ads New. I think its name has changed. You can go down to the point of saying anybody who's got Safari on the Mac don't see ads. People who live in Poughkeepsie, New York don't see ads.
That's great.
So you create ad zones and then make business logic for each one of those.
Oh, that's great.
Really cool. You could even say after somebody's seen an ad once or after they've seen three ads, don't show them any more ads for the rest of their cookie.
Love that. Oh, I'll have to talk to PodTrack because PodTrack sells the ads on twit.tv. So, and they use their own server. But that's
right. Once they're blind, once they're banner blind, like what's the point?
What's the point? You don't get any clicks. Oh, of course, we get paid by impressions, so there's less incentive to do that.
Line's breaking up.
Let's see. We went through everybody's... Oh, my browser pick, as you know, I use Flock. Lately, I've been using Flock an awful lot, and I really like it. I haven't used Safari that much in a long time. It's usually Flock or Firefox. But Flock, I'm just really liking in the integration. Now, while I was on a vacation the last 5 days, I took a lot of pictures with my camera phone. And this application is not Mac specific. It's actually a camera phone application. I've even mentioned it before, but I think it's gotten better and better. If you use a camera phone and you do upload your pictures to Flickr, or if you take videos and you want to upload them to YouTube, or you have a WordPress or a Vox or a TypePad blog or movable type blog, you should look at Shows You. shozu.com. It works on almost all camera cell phones. And the idea is it's one-click integration that allows you to upload photos very easily. So I'll take a picture of my phone, and the next thing I see is a little pop-up saying, you want to save this to Flickr? And I say, yes, and that's it.
So lucky.
And if I do this with a – if I take a video, it says – now, I've set it up to for my videos to go to YouTube. You want to upload this to YouTube? And I say, yes, and that's it. Some negatives there. One is that 4-megabyte limit on the YouTube videos, no limit on the photos. You can. The nice thing is, you instead of trying to configure these all on your phone, you actually have a ShowsU account, which so you configure everything on ShowsU on the web, you know, the places you want to upload to, and that automatically propagates to the phone. So that makes it you don't have to mess around trying to remember what your settings were for everything, and then trying to enter it on the keypad, which is nuts. It also has some other nice features that don't really make sense in the context of what they're doing, but I like them anyway. It'll automatically back up all your contacts from the phone to the ShowsU server, so you never lose your contacts again. And they've added something called ZooCasts, which is an interesting idea, particularly for those of us who make video. You might be interested in this, Merlin. It will automatically download videos for you, and that you can then watch on your phone and later on. You can have
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
I've seen this on so many people's Flickr accounts because it shows up a little ShowsU.
Yeah, it says ShowsU, yeah.
And I think I've tried it on every phone I've gotten, and of course I'm on Sprint, so
it don't
but
work.
It's totally but it's that's so great. It takes like 8 clicks to post a photo.
Well, it's true on almost all phones, yeah.
Yeah.
This supports Windows Live Spaces, just a ton of stuff. You can get ZooCasts from a lot of places, including TV shows, MSNBC. It's a really interesting, and it's free. I'm not sure what their model is, their business model, but if it works on your phone, it's definitely worth having. S-H-O-Z or Z for our Canadian and Anglophile listeners, you, shozu.com. That's my pick. Doesn't have to be a Mac pick. It could be something anybody could use, even Mac users. Works with a Mac. I think we're out of time. Macalope.
Yes, sir.
Didn't mean to scare you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm here.
He's part man, part Mac, part antelope. At macalope.com.
It gets lonely on the high plains.
We don't know who you are, but we know you have long, curly antennas. Or I guess you call them antlers in your business, yeah. Love.
Canada, they call them, I think.
Antennas, yeah. Oh, there's a 5-point antenna moose. Great blog. Must read blog. I tell you, you're such a good writer. I was sure you were John Gruber. Then I was sure you were Merlin Mann. Now I'm sure you're Ernest Hemingway.
Oh.
Back from the dead.
He would use a Mac, I'm sure.
With a sense of humor. So everybody should read Macalope. And you know, we can thank Merlin for making that connection for us. His voice does not sound like what you hear, so don't make it.
You're welcome.
Macalope. I am a vocoder. Scott Bourne's voice sounds exactly like you hear, and that's why he is the master of the Apple Phone Show at applephoneshow.com and of podcastingtricks.com and of the ilifezone.com, the great iLife. You think we're going to see iLife 8 any day soon, Scott?
October, Leo. And by the way, on the 20th, we celebrate the one-year anniversary of the iLife Zone.
Hey, that's great. Chris will be there. Chris Breen?
Yep.
Your regulars? Yep. Who else is on there with you?
Well, the cast is evolving right now. So Chris Breen and me for sure. We're looking to maybe make a few changes there. And if you're looking for a part-time job, let me know.
And, of course, podango.com. PODANGO.com, which is Scott's full-time job, and then some. And Mr. Merlin Mann is at themerlinshow.com. What's the latest on the Merlin Show?
The latest is episode one of an epic 6-segment arc with a guy who I can't stop pimping, Jesse Thorne, a guy who does The Sound of Young America, my favorite podcast. And
is he young?
Time. Oh, God, he's so young. It's so depressing. He's like 26, and he's incredibly talented, and I want to hit him. Yeah, I know.
He's from UC Santa Cruz.
What's Santa Cruz? That's right, Banana Slug.
Yeah, he's a slug. Very cool. Yeah, I have it queued up on my iPod to watch soon.
And I remind you, as I remind you every week, he is also with Jennifer Sharp, the one who puts out the Coil and Sharp podcast. So you can have a fresh episode of Coil and Sharp's On the Street San Francisco Mayhem from the Skinny Ties 60s every week.
MaximumFun.org. I think we've wrapped up this episode of Mac Break Weekly. Glad to be back on track. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. We'll be back with more iPhone news. Actually, I'm not going to be here next week. I'm going to be in Vancouver. So maybe you guys can do this without me.
We'll try to do our best.
Do your best. And we will see you on another episode. Another Mac Break has broke hole thing. Hey, it's the Macalope.
Oh my God, this is the best day ever. Hi, Macalope.
Oh, man, nice to finally talk to you.
You've never converged.
This is such an honor.
As far as anybody involved knows.
I've been trying to really encourage the idea that you are me. So
well, we've now disabused everyone.
You're even more clever than people imagine.
They're going to want you to drink a glass of water while I'm talking. I think.
So
I have that one right here.
Would people be able to deduce your identity from hearing your voice?
Some people might.
Okay. So what we'll do is that you're on a separate channel. That's why I had you do phone instead of Skype. So I will process it so it will be indistinct. It will actually sound fun.
Vocoder.
I don't know yet what I'm going to make it sound like.
Well, vocoder, you got to.
Yeah, I'll vocode it.
Jerry Lewis, right?
Yeah.
Is there a Jerry Lewis filter? That would be pretty awesome.
I need Lyman. And how should we address you? Mr. Macalope?
Macalope.
Lopey?
Maybe later, yeah.
Hey, Lopey.
After a few drinks.
Hey, Lopey.
Lopester.
I got a feeling there is some alcohol consumption during the lope.
Well, sure.
During the lopage.
Rat hole, 43 folders of rat.